What authority do we have? What power are we given? One of the questions that was asked this week. And these are some important questions with oaths, even though you wouldn't necessarily think so, and we're going to dive into that. Oaths and vows, all that this morning. But I just want to get us started to be a little bit interactive. So what are some of the habitual phrases that you hear in our culture or vows that we, you know, that we take, that we use to like solidify the truth? Like, what do people say in conversation?
I swear to you that.
I swear to God. Across my heart. Right? When you're a kid, across my heart and hope to die. It's like, wow, that's really morbid. What else do you hear? Say that again?
Pinky
promise. Yeah, pinky swear, pinky promise.
To be honest.
To be honest. I say that one a lot. To be honest. Which implies what?
So help me God.
Yes, so help me God.
Oh, really, really?
Yes, really. Or the new one is literally, which isn't literal. Literally, I did that.
Does anybody say truly, truly?
Yes. Some people might of old, truly. But Jesus says the truly, truly, yes. Any others you guys can think of? My daughter does the really, I'm telling the truth. I promise I'm telling the truth. Because she has recently discovered the not telling of truth, which is so fun. What vows do we take? Oaths that we take, commitments that we make. What are those that you can think of in our culture?
Wedding vows.
Oath of office.
Yeah, the president takes an oath of office.
Judges. If you need me, I'll be there for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we say that. Anything you need. Has anyone ever done anything you need? Do you really mean anything? Yeah.
Adopting children,
yes.
I'll pray for you.
Mm-hmm. I'll pray for you. Yeah, there's also the other ones I thought of, the Hippocratic Oath of doctors. Then you have people in the Catholic Church, vow of celibacy, vow of silence, vow of poverty, military oath of enlistment, baptism. We have these different oaths that we take or covenants that we make. And I feel like we get a sense that some of these are good and some of them aren't. That we're going to dive into that a little bit more. But I want to just start by reading the text and going from there. This is Matthew 33. It's on page 33 of your booklet, if you're following along there. Jesus' words, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." So on first glance, like Vanessa said, a lot of times it's simple. So on first glance, what's the application that we see?
Don't take oaths?
Integrity.
Anything else coming to mind?
Do what you say you're
going to
do.
And what we're not going to dive in today, sorry if you're super interested in this, is like the oath to the Lord. That feels like, you know, that's a really good topic to explore, but that feels like a whole sermon on its own and not something we do as often. So I've decided to not go there today, but I'm happy to talk about it if that's like super interesting. But yeah, in many ways, it's pretty straightforward, right? It's like, do what you say. Don't take oaths. Integrity. But the application, even though it's simple, is very powerful. And I think that's what we're going to kind of try to dive in today. And I'm just going to highlight a few things for us to take in a small group. So let's also read the Deuteronomy passage. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from vowing, you will not be guilty of sin. You shall be careful to do what has passed your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. I just really like this because even in the Old Testament, God's like, you have a choice, and you kind of chose this guilt upon yourself by making a vow in haste, by not being thoughtful. And it reminds me a little bit of when God talks about money in the New Testament, where it's like, the problem is that you said you were going to do something with it and lied about it, not how much you gave. You have a choice when you have some of these things. And I really love that about our words. We have a choice with the promises we make. But I think one question that's a basic one that I just want to get out of the way is, should we ever vow, promise, swear, any of that? You know, are these vows of silence or poverty or these oaths good or bad? Or, you know, when he says don't do an oath and then we're taking the Hippocratic oath as a doctor, what, you know, is there a conflict in that? And so I think that's really important to just answer straight away as we're looking at the Matthew passage. So for fun, I pulled up the dictionary definitions of oath, swear, vow, promise, dedicate, anoint. And they all have a lot of overlap, right? They're all synonyms in some way with a different variation of each other. A solemn promise, make a solemn statement, solemnly promise to do a specific thing, a declaration or assurance, you know, devote with particular task or purpose, ceremonially confer. And so we see so many biblical examples of dedications to the Lord, of covenants that are made. So we really have to look at what is Jesus talking about in this Matthew passage? And there's something really unique to this swearing by something else outside of yourself or even of yourself that is really significant. And the Greek, when you look up the Greek of swear, it really is about like appealing to an authority that is not of your own. And so I think what Jesus is shining a light on is our practice to appeal beyond what we can control. And the inappropriateness of when we call upon an authority that is not ours to call upon, right? It reminds me a little bit of the James passage that talks about, who are you to say, I'm going to do this tomorrow? And what he's getting at is like the pride beneath, I get to control my days. And of course, God gives us some control. But when we assume we have ultimate control, we are in the wrong, and that is pride. And I think this is hearkening that a little bit of what authority are we appealing under when we say, I swear, I promise, I'll do this. And especially in this example of, I swear on heaven, how inappropriate is that if you do not own or have control of or have authority of such a thing, and even our own hair. Now, I know that you and I know how to make our hairs white or black, but not permanently. We just have to pay someone to do it or pay the store for the dye. But we know that we ultimately have no control over the hair that comes out of us without science to help us, right? So I think that's a really powerful reminder, a humbling reminder. For good reason or bad, I feel like this comes up in our lives when we're in a situation where our word is not good enough. And I know when I was answering the questions for myself, it was like, when do I exaggerate and lie or bend the truth? It's like when I'm not listened to or when I'm not believed. And sometimes that's because I shouldn't be. I've broken trust. I have not let my yes be yes, my no be no. But I also do it when I should be believed, but that person can't see it. And so it's like, no, but really, right? And so I think we get in situations where it feels like our word isn't good enough, and so we need to add upon it. We need to bolster it up is the temptation that we're sensing. And I think most of us probably don't spend a lot of time swearing and promising, so this might feel a little like, that's great, you know, but how does this apply to me? I don't hear that very often where adults are like, oh, but Rolanda, I really promise that I'm going to do that. You know, that's not really in our vocab anymore when you're of a certain maturity. And yet we can still get a lot from this lesson, because I think many of us might struggle with overcommitting, exaggerating, trying to maintain our image, not showing parts of us because that's unsavory, because of our insecurities. With the best of intentions, we say, I'll pray for you. I'll text you back. Let's get together. We say things very quickly because our intention might be good, or our intention might be fearful, but we're not quite telling the truth. And I think even when we fully intend to do X, Y, and Z, oftentimes when we're saying these things, these exaggerations, these half-truths, we have a nagging feeling that we're asking too much or promising too much. Without even saying, I promise, I swear, truly, truly, there's a sense of like, yeah, I'll get to that, and you're like trying to convince yourself too, while you're trying to convince the other person. And I think what we're appealing to, the authority we are attempting to lean on, we are appealing to our ideal selves, our not real selves. We are hoping that like the stars will fall together and I will have a rhythm of texting back, or I will do my devotional prayer and I will pray for that person the way that I said I would. We have this like unrealistic perspective of who we really are based on, and we promise who we want to be, not who we are. Because being honest would be really hard, right? Being honest would be saying, I'm not really good at that, but I'm not really great at that, but I really want to be. It would be exposing where we're really at. So we have this sense of appealing to something that is not truly us, not within our power, not within our authority, and we'd lie to ourselves and to the person we're talking to. Can anyone relate? Is it just me? Am I talking to myself? Okay. When we do this, of course, we set up a false sense of expectations for ourselves. And I don't know about you, but the moment you say, I'm going to do that, and you're not sure if you will, you then also walk around with the guilt and the extra muster-up effort that you're trying to do so that you can get it done, and a huge sense of release the 50% of the time you actually follow through. And then we also set up false expectations for the person we're talking to. We delay and increase the disappointment for ourselves and others when we are not fully honest. So, the first question for our hearts is, why do we overcommit? Why do we bend the truth? Why do we not be fully honest? Hide our weaknesses? What are we afraid to lose? And you know, that's different for each of us. I know for me, it's like, I want people to see that my heart means well, so I'm afraid of my reputation of being, you know, of saying, of not saying I'll pray for you, or not saying yes, I'd love to get together, or yes, I'd love to jump in that because my heart wants to. So I'm afraid that I'll be seen as not caring if I am honest. And I don't know what it is for you. What is it for you that stumbles you in this area? So what authority do we have? What power are we given? And I think in this context, when we are not thoughtful and honest in our speech, we are abusing the authority that we are given. We are not presenting the truth to the people in front of us, which includes our weaknesses. And to be honest, we can't muster up the strength to do what we've promised anyways. We can only, like Vanessa said, change our speech through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can only follow through on prayer and on emailing back and making room and spiritual disciplines and leaving margin, not by effort, but by the Holy Spirit. And we cannot do it. So it's a real disservice to us when we are not fully honest with ourselves and the people in front of us. And I think it's okay to grieve when we say, I really wish I was better at this because I know it would improve our relationship, but I am not. So I will try, but please, this is who I am, you know. And there's something that's really appealing about that. And the person can be angry or not, but they've seen who you are, you and your full weaknesses, you and your full strengths. I don't have like a gut-wrenching story this time, thank the Lord. But I have a funny one that I'll tell you. Just a few months ago, I was in a conversation with a bunch of people, and somehow this guy was like, "Do you guys know the correct way to put on toothpaste on the toothbrush?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I know the answer to this." And he's like, "How do you guys do it?" And when it came to me, I totally lied about my answer. I was like trying to give the right answer. And I was like, yeah, I do it this way. And then was like, what am I doing? Like, this is so dumb, right? And then out of everything, you know, the irony of the ironies was that the way I actually do it is the correct way based on this guy's like research. So I like lied and got the answer wrong. It sticks out to me because I have these moments sometimes where I go, why did I feel the need to like try to manufacture my reputation in a way that he thought I was like smart about my toothpaste choices. You know, it was like one of those moments, like in the moment I was like, I'm being dumb, but I don't even know how to say face, and then afterwards feeling like really weird. You know, and it's like,
what's the right way to put it on?
Well, it's just like one little, you know, you don't need a lot. You're not the like full strip, right? And I knew that, but I thought it was a trick question. And so even though I only do the one, I was like, he must have discovered a new thing where it really is the long way. Anyway, it's like, he doesn't care. It's like a moot point, except that the Lord brought it up to me of like, why, as a mature woman, am I lying about my toothpaste? Like, I clearly am not that mature. And it was a helpful exercise of like, that's revealing, if you know my weaknesses, that's revealing of a like, I want to be liked and smart, you know, and it's like I've learned over the years my reputation matters more to me than I originally thought. And this is a very silly version of that, but a really true one, right? So I'm trying to learn how to correct myself in the moment. I don't know why I just said that. This is actually what I meant, you know, and then just catch it in the moment. But we have these habits. And we get folded under pressure, right? Sometimes it's just like out of pressure, like you need to say something now, and then you say it, and you're like, I didn't really mean that. And what do you do with that? So I think this is really helpful, and the solution isn't guilt, right? So I want us to just, the solution isn't try harder. So we're going to go back to those verses, and I just highlighted here. You shall be careful to do what is past your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. I think God gives us the reminder to be careful and to be thoughtful. And then let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Our words have power. And I think we can forget that. So for most of us, this is a reminder. Be careful with your speech. Be thoughtful. What are we communicating to ourselves and to others? Are your yeses and your nos trustworthy? And mine not always? They aren't always. I do overcommit. I do say yes a lot. No is hard for me. That means my yes isn't as trustworthy as I'd like it to be. But for some of us, this is far deeper. I don't know if you've ever been in the situation where you have misrepresented someone negatively, or maybe even positively, and someone, you gave someone a really good Yelp review that shouldn't have gotten, and now people think they're trustworthy too. When we have misrepresented someone or lied about ourselves, that can have really deep consequences. What authority do we have? What power are we given? We have the authority to be honest in our speech. Demonstrate to the world what true transparency looks like. We have the authority to not overcommit, to image manage, but put God's perspective first, the power of confession and correction. And it doesn't have to be this really heavy thing each time, right? We have the power to say, I got it wrong. I'm really sorry. But for some of us, if you really feel like if God's putting something on your heart, big or small, ruined a reputation or misrepresented someone, or maybe it's even small, like toothpaste. If it's nagging on your heart, on your soul, if Vanessa's words to, oh, search me, are happening, I really recommend you talk about it in your small group or find someone. I have great examples of godly women who have taken big and small and just taken it seriously even decades later and just gone and apologized. You know that one thing that you probably don't even remember? I just wanted to say sorry for that. I misrepresented that, or I lied, or I didn't tell the full story. And I think there's value in that. I also think it's really helpful to just brainstorm what your habits are, like where you get yourself in trouble. Take some time with your small group and have fun with it. Like, yeah, when I get in toothpaste situations, I lie. Like, if I feel like my reputation's on the line. But sometimes it's like the pray for you, or it's the what if someone is asking you the truth when the truth will hurt? You know, like it's the age-old, like, husbands, what do you say if the wife says, does this look good on me? But, like, how do you be honest when it doesn't? Like, some of us are in that situation a lot. We have someone who asks us for honesty a lot. And it's okay to just brainstorm. We have sisters in Christ that can help us, give us starter ideas of how to be honest and have integrity in those situations. So just super quickly, the last note I have, but I think it's important, is do we need to be very literal in everything we do? I think sometimes with the Sermon on the Mount, we can get very stuck on how do I apply this in every nook and cranny of my life? And if I, you know, how do I be really, really honest? And I will say my interpretation is no, we don't need to be literal and factual in every situation. I think the Bible in the Sermon on the Mount gives us a lot of poetry. Blessed are, that's a version of poetry. When you look at the Beatitudes, you don't expect it to be a complete list of everyone who is blessed, because you understand it's getting at something. We have examples of exaggeration, cut off your right hand. We have examples of prophecy, of imagery, of beauty. And we take literally and the meaning of it, but we do not necessarily hang on every word and apply it in exactly that way. So I'll give you my example. If Bethany asked me how I was doing and I said, oh, I haven't slept for days, she might say to Chris, Lana's really tired. And she would have accurately portrayed what I said. But if Bethany's reaction was like, you haven't slept for days? Oh my goodness, like I need to pray for you, like what's going on? Then she might be taking literally, thinking that I have not slept in 72 hours, which is not the truth. We understand when we talk in metaphor. And we can correct and go, no, Bethany, I didn't, you know, I got like 4 hours each night. So that is not the case in my life right now. But just like to use that as an illustration of we get when we're not being literal. And when we don't, when our heart is in the right place, when the Holy Spirit is tapping us on the shoulder, we understand when we have accidentally deceived someone and we can course correct. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it exactly that way. We know that in accounting you need to be accurate, but when someone says how much did that cost and it was $19.57, that we can say $20, and no one's should come and say, you lied to me. We understand that, and I want us to leave room for that because there is beauty in language and creativity, and we need to have that. The problem is when the other person who you are talking to has a deceived reality of the truth. And when you have added to that, it's time to course correct. And it doesn't necessarily mean you've sinned. So I just want to make that really clear. It is your intention. Is your intention to deceive, to micromanage, to exaggerate? And then how does the other person receive it? Do they receive it accurately? And so I just want to make that caveat for some of us who really have a hard time not going very literal with the Sermon on the Mount. Because we literally do need to take seriously the call to watch our words, to watch our intentions, to be honest with the Lord. But we don't need to watch every word of our mouth and make sure it is 100% accurate in that way. That is legalism. And so just wanted to end on that. If you have something that is heavy on your heart, I do encourage you to talk to someone. But have fun with this as well. I recommend just brainstorming together and confessing what's hard for us and having fun with it. I've really been praying against the guilt and condemnation that can come with this because I think this is a lot of it is habit and bringing forth our confession to the Lord in that. Thank you. I'm going to close us in prayer. Lord, thank you for the fact that you make a covenant with us, that you forgive us, that you make a vow of faithfulness to us, that our oaths that you do call us to are good, Lord, but we pray that we would stand on truth, that we would allow ourselves to be honest even when it hurts our reputation, even when it might hurt the other person because we're not giving into what they'd like. I pray when we get that squirrely sense that we are not being fully honest, that your Holy Spirit would intervene, would give us direction. And when we do fall into habits of exaggeration or managing image or overcommitting or lying about our intentions, Lord, I pray that you'd help us correct quickly and apologize and ask for forgiveness, not just try harder, not just try to do what we said we would do in that same way, Lord, but help us confess to you and ask if we should honor that commitment, ask if we should, how we should proceed, how we can repair a relationship, how we could not need to manage our own image, Lord. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you that your word is always trustworthy, even if ours isn't. Thank you that you can change our hearts and our words and our relationships, that you can heal them. Thank you for being so good to us. In your name we pray. Amen.